Democrat movement, taking him to task for his criminal justice reforms, but he was having none of it.
You are defending the people who kill the lives you say matter. Tell the truth.
He called out the protesters for misrepresenting their case and defends bills he passed during his presidency. And the search on in Washington state for two men that escaped from a psychiatric hospital. This is USA Radio News.
Tales of American Political History with Clinton Porter Hackney.
I've done at least three stories here about the White House, one on the development of the Oval Office, one about its complete rehab in the Truman administration, and then there was the White House Christmas tree story. But the Executive Mansion has such a long and rich history, you just can't get enough of it. This is the story of its very beginning and the early days of actually building it at the end of the 18th century. After you read enough about selecting the site, the architects and their designs, and the men who toiled to build the original structure, you come away knowing one thing for certain. Call it the Executive Mansion, call it the White House, call it 1600 Pennsylvania, or whatever you please. But study its early days, and you will know, without a doubt, that this is George Washington's house. Join us again next time for the beginning. This is Clinton Porter Hackney at cphackney.com.
And now former state trooper out of a job because he quizzed people about religion after stopping them for traffic violations. The Indiana State Police dismissing senior trooper Brian Hamilton on Thursday after being accused a second time of preaching to drivers he'd stopped. The ACLU suing Hamilton earlier this week on behalf of a woman who said he gave her a warning after stopping her for speeding in January and asked if she'd been saved. A Republican governor sides with LGBT advocates when it comes to a proposed law.
South Carolina's Republican governor voicing opposition to a bill that would ban transgender people from using the restroom of their choice. Governor Nikki Haley saying the bill introduced by Republican State Senator Lee Bright isn't needed because she says she hasn't heard of anyone's religious liberties being violated. The bill would require transgender people to use the bathroom based on the sex listed on their birth certificate. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And this is USA Radio News, powered by USARadio.com.
Have you been to USARadio.com? The latest breaking stories, the hottest news, and the best radio all in one place. It's available for free on your smartphone, on your computer, and you can listen with your Bluetooth-enabled car. You can listen to classic radio theater, Daybreak USA with Angie Austin, and my new show that takes you from online to on air, your news feed on the radio, Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphries. Check it out, USARadio.com. That's USARadio.com.
Driverless cars are coming to Arizona. Google announcing plans to dispatch a foursome of drivers.
Good afternoon on this rather blustery Friday afternoon. We're here. My guest today will be Miles Winder, and I'm just going to kind of give you an update on the weather before we start. And I guess I don't have to say that it's kind of cold out there. I know there are possible predictions of some snow. We do know that mostly cloudy tonight. Tomorrow, there's about a 90% chance of either rain or snow, high of about 39 degrees. So I guess some of us who are higher elevations may get a little snow. Nothing to be worried about or significant. In fact, they were mowing my lawn today. So I guess I'll have a mowed lawn for the snow. Tomorrow night, about 40% chance of blustery winds and a chance of rain and or snow, mostly cloudy, low of about 25 degrees. So if you've tried to put some of your plants outside, get them back in. Sunday should be nice, mostly sunny, high of about 44 degrees. And again, into Sunday night, again, there is a chance of rain or snow. And again, about a 40% chance on Monday. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big Z coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome to It's the Law. I'm your host, Pat Smits, and those of you who know me know that my practice is family law. But today I'm really honored to have as my guest Miles Winder III, who is the president of the Bar Association. And I think this is an extremely important program, and I hope people listen, because what we're possibly going to have is a real travesty in New Jersey with respect to the courts. I'm going to talk to Miles, and we'll talk a little bit about the history of the courts, just to give you some background as to how our system was set up with the judicial and the other branches of government. So I hope that if you are listening and you will think it's important enough to reach out to your senators. And in Hunterdon County, we have three actual districts that are in Hunterdon and in some other areas, but in District 16, which is generally Central Hunterdon, Flemington, Raritan, Reddington Township, and then some of Middlesex, some of Middlesex County and some of Somerset County. The senator is Kip Bateman. We'll be back in just a minute since my phone is ringing. This is what happens here, Miles.
I love it.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use. Let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hi again. Sorry about that. That's what happens when you have amateur radio. Had a call from my grandson, actually. So, didn't take it, but we're back. And again, our District 16 senator is Senator Kip Bateman. The northern part of our county and also into Warren County and part of northern Somerset County is Senator Doherty, and that's the 23rd district. And the other district that hits the Lambertville area, mostly it's in Mercer County because we have Hopewell Township, Pennington, and Trenton, and that is Senator Shirley Turner. That's the 15th district. But Miles, one of the things, and let me just talk to you a little bit about Miles. I'll tell you a little bit about him. And I've known him as an extremely active in our Bar Association. And frankly, you know, often people think that the Bar Association is just, you know, we're trying to protect our own. But if people realized how much the Bar Association really does for the people and trying to protect the rights of our citizens, I think they'd be surprised. But Miles has worked for how many years in the Bar Association, because you're now the president?
I've been a member of the Bar Association for 44 years. I've been in the trustee of the Bar Association for the last 15, and working through the chairs to become president for the last 6.
Well, and that's an incredible amount of work. I don't think anybody can appreciate it. And I don't think you can appreciate exactly, because I was on the Family Law Committee for many years, and the work we do on legislation and the types of things that we try to do to get laws enacted that protect our citizens. But just some background, Miles went to Oberlin. And then went to law school at the University of Denver. That was interesting. Were you from New Jersey?
Yes. I grew up in Asbury Park.
Okay.
But the people at Oberlin said, go west, young man. So I did.
Now, I thought you were going to say you were a skier, so you didn't really want to go to law school.
Well,
but
I am a skier still.
Aha.
I am a skier.
So Miles has been practicing since 1972. Miles, briefly, what makes our Constitution, New Jersey Constitution, special with respect to the three branches of government?
Well, the primary thing is that the judges are appointed, not elected. So the judges are not political in any respect. Right now we have a real crisis ahead of us that could affect everybody, not just lawyers, but everybody, because it's possible the judges would not be reappointed for their tenure year. The Constitution of New Jersey says that judges should be appointed for 7 years. They'll be nominated by the governor with the advice and consent of the Senate, and they'll serve a term of 7 years, and if they're reappointed, they will be judges until they're 70 years old.
Right, and I don't think that most people, unless they've lived in other states or have been involved in other states, I've been very involved in the ABA, and I can tell you that in other states, lawyers are solicited for funds, for campaign funds, to go to campaign functions for the judges. I have a friend who's a Supreme Court justice in Texas, and you know she needs to get reelected, and she has to go out there and solicit contributions or have someone solicit contributions. So the one thing that people around the country have always said to me is they really think that our judiciary here has been excellent. And
I will say to you that when I went to law school, and certainly as a law student and as a lawyer, we learned that New Jersey was really one of the finest judiciaries in the country. It still is. The problem is that we have a fight going on between the governor and the Senate, and that fight is managing to it has the potential for demolishing this fine judiciary that we have in New Jersey.
And Miles is not underemphasizing the crisis. And let's just talk about what he told us and what we in the profession know is once a judge is appointed, they really tend to be political up until that time. There's generally either a Democrat appointment or a Republican appointment. And so that's fine. But once they become a judge, they can't do anything political. They really can't. I mean, some of the restrictions are almost silly. Can't go to certain parties. If their spouse is a legislator, they can't do certain things that would be expected otherwise of a spouse. But that has been very good because it's protected our judges from those kinds of outside influences. But, Miles, that's one of the things that I want to talk about a bit, how important it is for judges not to have outside influences and not to have pressure, because the idea here has always been that if a judge does a good job, does an excellent job, that they will be renominated and then appointed and have tenure until they're 70 years old unless they decide to retire early or do something stupid.
Well, the New Jersey Constitution, which was enacted in 1947, said something to the – well, it says that judges would be on their reappointment, would be tenured, and they have lifetime tenure, that is the lifetime until 70 years old, and they get a pension, which is not a bad pension. It's not as good as it may have been at one point in time, because the judge is now constitutionally required to fund part of their pension and fund part of their health care. Which is not something that used to be the case. They also get lifetime health care. But judges are not paid extremely well, and they haven't gotten a raise in the last 15 or more years.
I think that's really important for people to know, because the only let's talk about this, because when a judge goes on the bench, every judge is paid. If a trial-level judge, they're paid the same amount,
that's
correct?
Right.
It doesn't make any difference if they've served 1 year or 10 years.
Well, they might get a little more if they're a supervising judge. For
right.
example, a presiding judge of one of the parts or the assignment judge will get a little bit more. Not a lot.
But every assignment judge, even if it's Essex County or Hunterdon County, we don't have an assignment judge in Hunterdon County, which is another issue, but the Somerset County assignment judge and the Hudson County assignment judge would be paid the same amount.
They are paid the same.
And what people don't realize is that often, and it's certainly in the past, good lawyers who went on the bench were taking a pay cut. And that was kind of the understanding, that they would not earn as much, but and they wouldn't have the potential to earn as much, but they would have a good pension at the end of...
And it's public service. Basically,
it is.
Being a judge is not an easy thing. You have to be prepared every day. You get a certain amount of time off, and that's it. You don't get any more time unless you're sick, for example. And the direct result is that you don't have quite the same freedom that you might have had when you were in private practice.
Absolutely. In fact, I've been, those of you who know I've been practicing for 37 years, so you have me beat. I never wanted to be a judge because I clerked, and frankly, I saw how confining it was. Now, for some people, that's fine, but I just, although I work all the time, I still think I should have time to, you know, do what I want to do if I decide to. But the main thing that once someone is appointed, and the reason for tenure is it protects the judges, and we want that. In other words, people often say, well, tenure is just going to protect incompetent people. On the contrary, what it does is it protects the judges from any kind of outside pressures.
Exactly right, and that's why we have the seven-year period where their first appointment, and then their tenure only comes after the reappointment for the remainder of their career. So the great difficulty here is that back in 2010, Governor Christie decided that he was not going to reappoint John Wallace to the Supreme Court. John Wallace was a Democrat from South Jersey. And then in the interim after that, he assailed some other justices and judges of the Superior Court. But then in 2012, he again decided with no legitimate basis that he was going to refuse to nominate Helen Hones, who was a Republican for tenure. Now, that battle has gone on through today, because what happened was that after Governor Christie came back from his presidential trial, he decided he was going to nominate David Bauman for the Supreme Court. The direct result was that David Bauman is a Republican. Senator Sweeney has said he was not going to give Judge Bauman, who was a Superior Court judge, any hearing because he didn't want the governor to be able to pack the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court is usually pretty much evenly divided. There are right now two Republicans three Republicans, two Democrats, and one independent on the Supreme Court. And if a Republican were appointed, that would be a majority of Republicans. The irony in all of this is the judiciary is being used as a political pawn. And don't forget, we all learned when we took civics in high school that the judiciary is a separate, independent branch of government which is co-equal to the executive and to the legislative. So we have the legislative and the executive fighting, and they're using the judiciary as a pawn.
Well, it's my understanding that what happened, and really those of us who knew Justice Wallace, he was an excellent jurist. I mean, there was no reason that he shouldn't have been reappointed. He only had, as I recall, didn't he have about 2 years before he was 70?
Yes. And he was probably one of the finest Supreme Court justices we'd had, and frankly, there was no real reason not to reappoint him.
Because Governor Christie, remember, when that happened, I never even could understand it, because at that point, he would have had another appointment.
Yes.
Because in 2 years, Justice Wallace would have retired. He would have then Governor Christie would have had another appointment. And at that point, it's my understanding, and I'm not very political, but it's my understanding that the Senate then said they would not appoint anyone to fill Justice Wallace's seat until his term was up.
Exactly.
Am I wrong?
You're exactly right.
And that, so was that political? Well, I think for most of us, we felt it was understandable because here, you know, there was no reason not to reappoint this justice. And what happens when, well, you tell me what happens, or you tell our audience, what happens if there is a vacancy on the New Jersey Supreme Court, different than the federal Supreme Court?
Absolutely. The federal Supreme Court, nothing happens. In other words, if you have a tie, what will happen is that at the U.S. Supreme Court, the tie remains, and if you have different circuits having different answers to the same question, they remain different. So New Jersey might be different from California. In New Jersey, the governor, the Chief Justice is allowed to call up a senior appellate division judge, and Mary Catherine Cuff is a senior appellate division judge that's been serving quite well, and the Supreme Court is functioning as a direct result. We have seven people on the Supreme Court, all of whom are quite capable of doing a very good job, and they do a very good job.
Right.
But the problem is when Governor Christie decided he was going to nominate Judge Bauman, Senator Sweeney said, no, I'm not going to let you bully us and pack the Supreme Court. It's just not going to happen. So about three or four weeks ago, the governor gave a press conference, and he said that if Judge Bauman didn't get a hearing, there would be ramifications. He used the word ramifications. He didn't really define what ramifications were at the time, but it became clear that later on in about a two-hour press conference, that you couldn't shut down the judicial nominations process in just one area. He said you can't shut the judicial nominations process down in just one area. So that's led everybody to believe that the governor is now saying that if Judge Bauman doesn't get a hearing, he's going to not reappoint all the people that are now up for reappointment. And there are 23 judges
right.
That applies to.
And this is what is important because, remember, these judges, well, let's talk about what happens. A judge is appointed 7 years. They give up their practice. Most of them don't have a big firm to go back to. I know, for example, and it's going to be devastating for those of us who are in court. It's going to be devastating for the citizens who are now backed up because they're not enough judges.
Well, I have to say that in Hunterdon County, it's my understanding, for example, that in the matrimonial part, you cannot try a matrimonial case for 3 years right now. And if we lose judges, 23 judges throughout the state, that's going to get so much worse because judges from Hunterdon County or Somerset County or Warren County are going to be taken to other counties. For example, Mercer County presently has, they should have 19 judges. They're missing 7 of the 19 judges. So what would happen there is you may have a couple of Hunterdon County judges or a couple of Somerset County judges or a combination of those going to Mercer County just to fill in. And that means that the backlog gets worse in Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren.
Well, in fact, you're absolutely correct because what has to be done are criminal cases have to be tried. And a few years ago when there was a spat between the governor and the senator from Essex County, the governor would not appoint any judges for Essex County. I think they had something like 11 vacancies.
That's right.
And so what happened then is they had to pull judges from other counties, and they shut down the matrimonial trials. I personally have a case. It's a horrendous case. It's almost 6 years old. So here we are. We're in trial at this time, not going back until July, but the judge has told us that even with ongoing cases, they may stop them. And one of the things that happens in family cases is because the judges are so busy, even though they start a trial, it can take months or even years to get the case finished. Doesn't happen with jury trials, but certainly happens in family. And one of the judges who, in fact, is one of the first judges who's up, well, the first judge I know is Judge Kessler, who is a judge in Essex County, an excellent judge. I mean, there is absolutely no reason why he wouldn't be reappointed. I know, I believe it's something like May 8th, Judge Rahill, who is our judge from Warren County, you know, if she's not renominated, then she won't be a judge. And I think perhaps the fact that even if they got reappointed in the future, Miles, you probably know this better than I do, but what happens? I mean, these judges are on the bench for 7 years. They've contributed into a pension plan. But my understanding is that, well, you tell me, what happens with a judge who's only been in a pension plan for 7 years?
Well, there are two judges, and you've mentioned one of them, the Essex judge. And there's another judge. They became judges just before their 60th birthday. And they've had 7 years in the pension plan for the state. In order to fully vest in the pension plan, you have to have 10 years. They're not fully vested. And what would happen is if they have one, if they have any breach in service at all, they will have a significantly reduced pension. I think it goes down to about 20% or 21% of what their pension would otherwise be. So you have a situation where, and Superior Court judges are different than workers' comp judges, for example, or tax court judges, because Superior Court judges, if they don't have the reappointment, they're no longer a judge. You don't have any carryover the way you would with a county prosecutor. You know, a county prosecutor can stay on in office and continue to be the prosecutor,
right,
even though they have not gotten a reappointment. Superior Court judge needs to have the reappointment in order to be able to continue to function as a judge. They're just out the door. In other words, they're no longer a judge. Their pension's going to be reduced. They have no health care. They have no health care. And so it's going to be a disaster for some of these folks, and it shouldn't happen to them. Why should it be that 23 people, Democrats and Republicans alike, are going to be hurt so badly simply because the other two branches of government cannot make a deal, do business together?
And actually irreparably harmed, because I happened to use that term today because I was in court on an emergent application. But really, this is irreparable harm. And I think what's going to happen is anybody who is interested in becoming a judge, they're going to have second thoughts. Because, you know, why would someone give up practice probably during the 7 years that they may be the most productive and be able to earn the highest income, in order to take a position that is tough enough? I mean, it is really difficult today to be a judge. I mean, you can't imagine the burdens that the judges have, especially in small counties like Hunterdon and Warren, where you, not only don't you have enough judges, but they're always juggling the calendar. And we get more and more and more work.
I will tell you, Pat, that I've had the experience of it here in Hunterdon County. My specialty is wills, trusts, and estates, and litigation of wills, trusts, and estates. And I walk in. I remember when Steve Rubin was a judge,
right?
And I'd walk in, and I thought I walked into the wrong courtroom because he was handling criminal matters, and then he was handling small claims matters. Then finally, he got to the wills, trusts, and estate matters third, and I realized what had happened. They just combined all three. And he was doing all three.
And in fact, when a judge is out, or I can't tell you the number of times I've been in family court, and for one reason or the other, the judge has to take bail hearings or just other things because it has to get done. It's not any better in the larger counties. I mean, they do have more judges. However, I mean, I can't imagine Warren County without Judge Rahill. And everybody has given her high remarks. So this is not something that has anything to do with the quality of the judges. The other thing that we have to think about is if, in fact, these judges are not reappointed, how long would you say, on average, it takes to get a new judge appointed for a vacancy?
Well, I don't know. You know, that's the we're looking at the at a very long period of time, because it's possible that the two sides could continue to be in conflict with one another. It's possible that they would say no more appointments for this governor. And in fact, it's possible they might say we're not acting on any of your appointments. So that the governor who has an acting attorney general right now would not be able to have a fully appointed attorney general. Or the commissioner of banking and insurance is the acting commissioner of banking and insurance, as opposed to the commissioner of banking and insurance. It might be that the Senate will not act on any appointments or nominations, even first nominations of judges. That would be a disaster for the judiciary. The point is that the judiciary is being held hostage by these other two, and something needs to be done so that that stops. The Senate has to hold hearings. The governor has to make nominations. Those are both required under the Constitution, and there's no reason that they don't do that, except for plain pure politics, which is entirely out of the picture for judges. Judges just aren't political. You're right that before they become judges, everybody has some political background, probably. But at the same time, once they're judges, they're kept away from that, and they can't be in any way political.
And even though someone's political, I have to say, most of the judges appointed in New Jersey, really, and especially the judges, it's another issue of how many judges are now retiring because they see that what they call the handwriting on the wall. But the judges here have really been good judges. The family judges are really hardworking. Judge Burry, who was here in Hunterdon County, who's now been transferred to Somerset, for example, I don't know if that man ever had a lunch hour. I mean, he would work through lunch. I had a very difficult trial one night, and I'm sure that the powers to be weren't happy, but he stayed until after 8 o'clock at night to finish that trial. It's an international case, so people were traveling. But he was just one example. I have rarely seen family judges who are not extremely hardworking. So in any event, let's take a short break and But the other thing is, it's not just hurting the judges. What it's really hurting is the people. I mean, it's the people who are using the court system.
Everybody's listening to this program will be hurt by this one way or another.
You really will. Huh. And that's why I announced the names of our senators. And it's really a reflection on, I guess, a system that nothing seems to be working. I mean, people that used to make the compromises necessary, I don't know. They're just not talking any longer. So in any event, we'll be back in a couple minutes after a short break so you can hear from some of our sponsors. And as you know, the sponsors are local businesses, and we are trying to keep business here in Hunterdon County. So we'll be back in just a minute.
Hey, this is Big Z of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntertonChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, we're back. I'm Pat Smits, the host of the program It's the Law, and my guest today is Miles S. Winder III. And Miles is an attorney, has practiced in Bernardsville. He handles chancery practice, commercial law, estate administration, and estate planning and litigation. But he's here today because he's also the New Jersey State Bar President, and I know he's been working very, very hard to try to get through this impasse that seems to be going on between the branches of government. And this is something that every citizen should be concerned about. And I hope, for example, that you will call your state senator and let them know that they need to do something to get this boondoggle, is that a correct word? I don't even know, but a boondoggle taken care of. And that is the concern we have, that 23 judges who have served or about to have served for 7 years are up for reappointment over the next how many months? A few months?
And before the end of the year.
Before the end of the year. Some of whom are up for reappointment, and if something isn't done within this month.
Right. April 28th is the last day for the first two. So the Senate has to be a notice of intention to nominate, and that has to be done 7 days before. And then the nomination, and then they have to have a hearing before the Senate or the Senate Judiciary Committee, and the Senate Judiciary Committee can approve or disapprove their nomination, and then the Senate supplies their advice and consent, usually approval. It gets even worse, Pat, because in addition to those 23 judges, we have right now vacancies in the Superior Court or in the court system of 44 judges. So that's going to add up to 67 right there. And We believe that between 20 and 30 more judges are going to retire before the end of the year. That means that we are going to decimate the Superior Court of New Jersey.
It really will. And
we will close courthouses. You were talking about Essex County. They were actually talking, I believe, about closing the courthouse one day a week or 2 days a week when they had the last crisis going through. And they got judges from Monmouth County. They got judges from Middlesex County.
From Morris County?
From Morris County to go to Essex to keep it open and keep the family part open, among other things. But
I can tell you that the only thing that happened in family part, the family cases, they handled the motions.
Right.
And they didn't handle any trials. There was no incentive to settle. And what has also happened, you mentioned that it can take 3 years to get a trial here in Hunterdon County, and you're right. And the difficulty is, and what people don't understand, it's going to cost them more money because they keep bringing people back.
Mm-hmm.
You end up, and with the judges shifting around, my last recent case, I had five different judges handling the case one time or another. Because they're so overwhelmed, they have one judge who might handle motions for some of the docket number, even though the other judge is really in charge of the case. So that's what happens. I had one case where there were five different judges who handled the case, which makes it impossible. I mean, it makes it impossible for the litigants, certainly makes it impossible for the judges, because they're trying to figure out a case that they have not been involved in, and there may have been a number of decisions. It just wastes time, and it certainly wastes people's money.
And, you know, the courts of New Jersey, they're designed to operate for the businesses and citizens of the state of New Jersey. It's where all those people go to resolve disputes, from foreclosure and contract disputes to divorce and child custody, domestic violence matters, and people seeking justice for an injury. The problem is going to be that shutting down the judicial appointment process will be effectively shutting the courthouse doors.
And I agree with you. And even if there are some judges there, what happens, and as I said, I do family cases, but the judges, the good judges, are very helpful in settling cases. And despite the fact that there are lots of other alternative ways, such as mediation or arbitration or collaborative law in the family cases, you still need the judge in so many cases. Maybe it won't go to trial. Hopefully it won't go to trial. But at least the judge will help the attorneys and help the litigants reach a reasonable settlement. And of course, in family law, the general problem is there's not enough money to go around. So it's not an easy thing, and there are all these emotional issues on top of it. But good judges who really help settle cases expedite everything, and it helps people get on with their lives.
I think that's right. It gives them some finality of especially in divorce matters. It gives people some sort of finality so that they can start their new life somehow. One of the interesting things about this, and it's another thing that I'm sure that people haven't really thought about very much, but in this group of judges, the 23, of them, about 10%, 43%, 10 of them are women. So it affects women more than anything else.
And of course, the reason for that, just so everybody knows, is that in order to be appointed as a judge here in New Jersey, you have to have at least 10 years as a member of the bar. So that because there were, when I started practicing 37 years ago, it was a very, very small percentage of attorneys who were women. And now there are more, and there are more women who are aspiring to judicial positions. and there are more women who are appointed. And also, I don't know if they do a breakdown with respect to minorities, but that, you know, the judiciary needs to kind of look like our citizens, and that's important. So that, I wonder, do you know the breakdown between Republicans and Democrats?
I think there are more Democrats than Republicans, but I don't, it's not substantially more. They're probably, of the 23, there are probably 10 that are Republicans, and the balance 13, 12 or 13 would be Democrats.
Well, if anybody has, you know, anything to do with Governor Christie or could encourage him to do really the right thing. I mean, this is the right thing for the citizens of the state. And I don't care if people play politics in certain areas, but when it's going to really hurt the entire population, not only now, but in the future, that's something we all have to be concerned about. And, you know, not everybody has to go through the court system, but we never know when we will. And that is the other thing we have to think about. No one ever knows when they're going to, you know, be faced with a situation where they find themselves in court. And they want an excellent judge. They want to have the process as speedy as possible, unless they happen to be somebody who wants to delay it. And it's the same thing that, you know, the old adage that you want a juror and you really want a jury of your peers. And you want a judge who has enough time to deal reasonably with your case.
I think that's right. And I think that the greatest difficulty we're all going to face is we're not going to have trials. But the greatest difficulty that citizens are going to face is that they won't have trials. It's the same thing. Basically, their matters won't be settled. Because it will take so much longer to get to a point where they're having a trial. And civil matters, as you pointed out earlier on, they take a back seat to criminal matters. The criminal matters have to be processed. And we're coming to a point, we have what's called a new bail reform bill. And the bail reform bill becomes was constitutionally created for New Jersey a couple of years ago, and it becomes effective on the 1st of January 2017. And it means we're going to change how we do bail in New Jersey completely. And the direct result is going to be that we're going to need more judges, not less judges, because the judges are going to be more involved in the process of admitting people to bail. If you have a complaint, which is a warrant complaint, which means that somebody's going to be arrested, there will be no bail for the first 24 to 48 hours.
Wow.
That means that people will spend 24 to 48 hours in jail. And then what's going to happen is people will, but depending on a report given to the judge, they will be admitted to bail or they will be released on their own recognizance with certain conditions, or they'll just be released on their own recognizance. And only people who are likely to reoffend or to commit a some violence against witnesses or have been charged with a first or second degree crime will be kept in jail. So we're going from a resource-based bail system to a system where we're looking to make sure that the people just come back. And once they're admitted to bail. And the direct result is you won't have a lot of people spending time in jail prior to trial. But that all comes out on the 1st of January. There are three counties now, Camden County, Passaic County, and the Morris-Sussex County vicinage, who are working on the program as trial projects. And the great difficulty is, if we don't have enough judges, the bail system's not going to work at all. I mean, that's going to be a really serious problem. So, I mean, if the governor decides to take a wrecking ball to the judiciary, he really needs to think about what it's going to how the long-term effects will play out, because the bail system is not going to work, and that was voted overwhelmingly by the voters of New Jersey 2 years ago. We had a constitutional amendment that said this is the kind of bail system we should have. Now, the court system, through the administrative office of the courts, has been doing its job, getting everything in line. So they would they've been training people for the past year and a half, anyway, on what the new bail system is going to look like. And if we have 23 vacancies immediately, and in addition to the 44 we already have, and another 20 to 30 after that, no civil case is going to get tried.
And no family case is going to get tried.
That's exactly right.
And as far as the judges, I'm sure that there will be 20 to 30, because many of the judges, when they can retire, they're retiring, even if they're not 70. And the reason they're doing that is many of them are then going out into private practice and doing mediation. Mm-hmm. I mean, they cannot, once a judge retires, a judge cannot go into court, but judges can go back to private practice, can go back and handle mediation, handle arbitration. They act as discovery masters. And, the judges are getting fed up. I mean, one of the things, and I know we're talking about reappointments now, but one of the things that was really, I think, misunderstood was the constitutional amendment that was requiring judges to make more of a contribution towards their medical. And what had happened before that, and I am aware of this, what happened before that is the Chief Justice had agreed that the judges would pay for some part of their medical. But one of the things about our Constitution is that once a judge is sitting as a judge, the salary can never go down. And so the concern was that if they have to start paying more into their for their medical, that would be a reduction in their salary, and it really is. And so that's why there was a constitutional amendment, which, of course, was worded in such a way that everybody, other than lawyers and judges who knew what it meant, probably voted for it. So it was probably overwhelming. I don't remember exactly, but I know that the constitutional amendment passed because it sounded like the judges were getting away with something.
I think that my recollection is it passed with something like a 75% margin. It was pretty substantial. I mean, for the sake of our fellow citizens, I think the State Bar Association calls really on the governor and the State Senate to examine their entrenched positions and resolve the battle so that our strong and independent judiciary can continue to serve the people of this state. One nomination really should not be tied to another. And the Bar Association believes the Senate should hold hearings on the governor's Supreme Court nominee. Whether that happens or not should not be connected to the obligations of the governor and the Senate with respect to other judicial nominees.
Absolutely. In other words, I know that some people think that this is just kind of a tit for tat, but it really isn't. Because, for example, when the problem occurred a few years ago with Essex County, I believe it had to do with something that the senator from Essex County wanted one of the Governor Christie's potential appointees to come before a hearing, and they didn't want to have that happen. But what happened in the end is Governor Christie's appointee was able to work in whatever capacity it was that Governor Christie wanted him to work. But in the meantime, there were, 11 or 12 or 13 judges that, were held up and weren't appointed in Essex County. So, it's not quite the same. You mentioned, for example, the prosecutor can carry over. In other words, in fact, Tony Kearns, our prosecutor, I don't understand why he has not been reappointed, because I think he's done a marvelous job, and everybody thinks he's really the type of prosecutor we want in Hunterdon County. I didn't even realize that he's now a carryover. So that however, it doesn't mean that he can't work. In other words, he will be able to continue in his job unless the governor appoints someone else. Whereas, and you mentioned, I never even thought about the fact that the day a judge is no longer a judge, everything ends, including their medical insurance. In fact, as a family practitioner, I'm thinking, I bet they don't even have a right to COBRA. But this is not a laughing matter, and I'm really glad, Miles, that you came on to talk about this. Frankly, I hope that, saner minds prevail and people realize that, this is not just, something that, let's play nice in the sandbox. But more than that, let's not, throw an atomic bomb in the sandbox. And that's my sense of what can happen. And we'll be sitting here without judges for another year. And we'll be sitting here with judges who, the best judges, the best people, the best lawyers that we want appointed to the bench, they're not going to be interested.
I'm afraid that's right. I think before the program came on, I was telling you that I was at a event in Hudson County where some judges who were close to retirement age came up to me and said, when I started all those many years ago, I had clerks who are now probably of the age where they could be judges themselves if they wanted to be, and they'd always expressed an interest in being a judge. But now that this crisis has come up, they're saying, why would I want to be a judge? I mean, I'd serve 7 years, and who knows what would happen to me at the end of those 7 years. I have no idea. My family responsibilities are just not going to allow me to do that because I'm taking a chance, giving up my private practice now to be a judge, which I'd love to do, and it is good public service, but at the end of 7 years, who knows what would happen to me if some politician says, we don't care about judges really. And I think that's one of the really bad things that's essentially occurring right now.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think that's, it's terrible what's happening to these 23, and I can't imagine the stress they're under. At this point, for example, they're sitting judges. They can't even go out and try to get jobs, even though they may be out of work in the next month.
I think it was Alexander Hamilton that said that the judicial branch is without armies and without the power of the purse. So they had neither sword nor purse. And that's the truth about the judicial branch. They have no ability to legislate for money. They have no ability to order the state police or to do things other than those things which would otherwise be required by law, so that they can't really protect themselves, and they're not allowed in any respect to protect themselves in terms of speaking out to specifically call out a senator or the governor for doing something like this.
So well, and even litigants can say horrible things, untrue things about judges. I know there was a situation here in Hunterdon County with Judge Mala, and the guy who wore a swastika and named his kid Hitler and horrible things, and the judge could never correct the record. They were talking about in other cases where they've taken children away. I know I was interviewed by one of the newspapers, and they had it completely wrong. They didn't understand that children in this particular case had been removed from the home because of abuse and neglect, serious abuse and neglect.
In that particular case, the Bar Association, the Hunterdon County Bar Association, I think it was Marianne Bauer, if I'm not mistaken, wrote a very, very eloquent letter which tried to lay out the facts, but the damage was done. Once you put something out there, that is untrue. People may continue to repeat it because it seems so unusual and odd, especially about Judge Mahler. Judge Mahler is probably one of the best judges I've ever met.
Oh, he's a very, very bright, very reasoned. You know, I think he will be or should be in the appellate division, you know, at some point. But the other thing that we don't always understand is when the judges go back for that hearing, I know that the attorneys, when we hear that a judge might be in trouble because some kook or kooks are going to show up to testify against him or her, we all try to rally and present the other side, the accurate side of the case. But I know recently when Judge Goodsite went up